Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Ron and Don Show on Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Ron and Don Show.
Get up again and smile. Get up again.
Good morning and welcome to the Ron and Don Show, broadcast live on Blog Talk Radio. And thank you for those watching on Facebook Live. I usually don't see Mr. Edwards or I because we prefer another background, but this morning is a lonely morning. It's an angry morning. It's a morning that personally I was not prepared for, and a lot of Mr. Edwards' friends were not prepared for, and it's something that we're going to have to keep going and keep doing to keep his legacy going. As you know, in the morning, Mr. Edwards usually started out the show, you know, talking and giving us the topics for the day. And I would like to start out to and play a normal clip of how this show normally happens.
Fine, Dr. Allen. And you're right, it's beautiful out there, though it's a little windy and a little chilly, but it's still a beautiful day. You know, it's been getting a fairly decent weekend, though they said yesterday it was going to snow, but it obviously didn't come close to snowing. A lot of things going on. Unfortunately, a lot of violence continues. A riot. At one of our largest hospitals here in the state of Minnesota, North Memorial, there in Robbinsdale, as many as 75 Negroes were involved in a pitched battle, if you will, fought on all four floors of the hospital. This was confirmed by witnesses and a separate interview. Six different law enforcement jurisdictions had to be brought in.
Wow.
In fact, at one point, they were so upset, the administrators at North Florida were so upset that they were prepared to ask the governor for possibly even military police. You know, I mean, that's how bad it is. So we got that going on. Now, also, we have at one time, very high-profile murder case. We'll be talking about that this morning also. Susan Seller, 68-year-old Caucasian woman, at the time of her death, an African American who was 14 years old at the time and allegedly the murderer, but it just doesn't match up. But we'll be dealing with that later on in the program. Don, what else we got, man?
Well, Ms. Edwards, this morning we're going to talk about you and your legacy. Since Mr. Edwards' death, it has been kind of rough for a lot of people, including myself. And Mr. Edwards is someone that I knew when I was 14 years old, and I'd like to share this because he always taunts me with this. I had accidentally hit my little sister with a volleyball in our backyard in South Minneapolis on 37th and Portland. And after I was whooped by my mom, aunt, and an uncle, Mr. Edwards was the fourth one in the line that they handed the switch to. He said, "Come here, boy." And I looked at him, I'm like, "Who is this dude getting ready to tear me up? I had enough." He pulled me over to his side and says, "Don't hit your sister with your volleyball. Don't hit no woman ever. You understand?" And I said, "Yes." And he let me go. And that was the first interaction that I had with Mr. Edwards as a young child. Later on in life, after my first round of college and doing everything, he would call me again to work on another project with him when he was the executive director or the chairman of the board of KMOJ. As you know, Mr. Edwards has a long history, and I need to dispel some myths and give you some facts. This morning, in about 2 or 3 minutes here, I'm going to bring a friend of the show and a longtime, someone who Mr. Edwards has known, his family and et cetera, for years and years. And he goes by the radio name of Mr. M. And Mr. M will be joining us. He's actually live on the air now listening. And he'll be interjecting here shortly. But I just felt that I need to talk about this. People in this community, in Minnesota's Black community, felt, from what I observed of Mr. Edwards, that he was toxic, that this show was toxic, that we spread dirty laundry about Minnesota's Black community. And that is so far from the truth. Mr. Edwards wanted a community, a Black community in Minnesota that got along with everybody, that was economically stable, that was educated, that took steps to have vision, that took steps to make sure that all people in Minnesota were empowered, not just Black people. But I know when Ron Edwards sat at the chair of the board for the Minneapolis Urban League for 15 years, when they had over 200 employees, two schools, group homes, transitional housing, et cetera. And then I look at them today. No one has ever called Mr. Edwards from the Urban League to ask for his guidance since he was blackballed out of there. I look at the NAACP. The NAACP nationally expelled. Mr. Edwards was one of the few Black men in the United States expelled from the NAACP. And I have said this on more than one occasion on this show. He has confirmed it and told the story on several occasions on this show. He was not happy with that. He was let down by an organization that he lifted up for many years. I remember in spring of 2013, the Minneapolis NAACP, the state chairman and a bunch of other folks, they were electing officials. Mr. Edwards stood in the room in support and observed this process that he had been a part of for so many years. And the Black people in the room called the Minneapolis police to have him removed from the NAACP meeting. These are our people. This is shameful, disgusting, and it makes me sick to my stomach to think about it. Mr. Edwards never took a penny for anything he did. He wanted to do it because he thought it would help the larger and greater Black community. I know that community leaders would call him, have a historian, and ask him, what's going on with this, Mr. Edwards? What happened? And it would be really funny. I could be at work in the middle of the day. Mr. Edwards would call me up and say, Don, take down this number, call me, and then call this person so we have a three-way. So I want you to listen to this. I said, okay, Mr. Edwards. So I took a little break at work, went out to my car, dialed Mr. Edwards' number, and I dialed this other number. And this person, and I'm not going to mention her name, she asked Mr. Edwards about some uprising in North Minneapolis on the campus of the University of Minnesota, some history about Black Minnesota, where the first Black community in Minnesota was. And to answer that real quick, it's on the University of Minnesota campus where the Walter Mondale Library sits, that area there. And I listened as Mr. Edwards schooled this elder on the history, the Black history of Minnesota. And then she hung up, Mr. Edwards hung up, and Mr. Edwards called me back, and he goes, watch, Don, watch. He says, I bet money she's going to be on some television show, some radio show, somewhere talking about Minnesota's Black history. Sure enough, I tune in to NPR, and there she was, using the same facts and information that Mr. Edwards had schooled her on that telephone call. And trust me, I'm not the only person that has heard this before. There are several friends that Mr. Edwards had that will confirm these stories, or my story at this time. During this program on the last 10 years, Mr. Edwards never missed a program. He did 530 shows over the last 10 years. I missed 12. My two sons were born, and things like that happened, and life happened. And Mr. Edwards understood it, but his main thing was, we have to keep the integrity of the show, because Black people in Minnesota need to know what's going on. They're not getting the news that they need. They're not getting the information. They don't know of the heinous and surreptitious incidents that are happening to them right in front of their eyes. Less than 2 months ago, actually in November, we sit down and we have a production meeting. This last November, Mr. Edwards said, let's go back. Let's go back in time to that first year in 2009, and let's look at the titles. Mr. Edwards wasn't that computer savvy, so we had to talk about analytics and hits and things like that. And we looked at our news reporting, our investigative journalism, our talk show, our basement talk show, as some call it, and we saw a trend that every 5 to 6 years, we were talking about the same thing, the same outcomes for the Black community. Actually, let me rephrase that. Every 2 to 3 years, we were regurgitating news with new people doing the same thing, which, as you know, if you do the same thing the same way all the time, your outcome is going to be the same. We talked about the empowerment zone. We talked about the Northside Achievement Zone. We talked about over 3, 4, 5 million, in the hundreds of millions, going into North Minneapolis and the St. Paul to help the Black Minnesotan to do better. But then again, we could not talk about that without talking about the fails. We cannot do that without talking about why, with all this, all these things happening, our Black youth being shot, our Black youth committing suicide, the trauma in our community, and the people that run to the front of the table to get their hands out for money, why we couldn't do a better job for our people, but more importantly, why our people thought that news and information customized for them would be toxic. It's shameful. It troubles me. But we see it every day in our community. We see the fails. There is good. Don't get me wrong. There is good. People can do better. We as Black people need to do better. This week I talked to Mr. Edwards' brother, Mr. Kim Edwards, a wonderful man, wonderful man. And I understand funeral arrangements are being made or have been made, and I had to back off from all that because I am not a blood relative, even though Mr. Edwards was the local grandpa to my 8 and 6 year old boys and has been at my house many occasions. But the frustration of people who were not born in Minnesota, who just arrived from Minnesota to Minnesota from Gary, Chicago, and these other places, who frustrated people in this family, are moving ahead and we're to do this, we're going to do that. And so I had to back off from it. It's hard for me to go to funerals. I had two uncles and an aunt pass away. I did not attend their funerals. And in this case, I'm debating. But it isn't about me this morning. It's about Mr. Edwards. And Mr. Edwards has done some great things. We've done this program here. I worked for him as economic development director at KMLJ in 1989 and 1990, where he did not call me directly. He called my mother. And he says, Elizabeth, her name was Elizabeth Battle. She says, Miss Battle, can you send Donnie over to KMOJ? And this is my mom sitting on her chair in the living room. I walk in the house. I was working downtown Minneapolis wearing suits and ties and, you know, thought I was somebody. And I walked in my mom's house and my mom said, Mr. Edwards wants you to go over to KMOJ right now. And I looked at him. I mean, I looked at her. I said, I ain't going over there. There's no way. He said, she said, boy, if you don't get in your car and drive over there, I'm going to bust you in the head with this skillet. There was no skillet around her or anything like that. So I got in the car and I drove over to KMOJ when they were on 5th and Bryant. Mr. Edwards was there. He greeted me at the door. He took me into a small studio behind some locked doors inside of that particular building that KMOJ had in the projects back then. He sat me down. He said, Don, I know you work in white radio, and I know you're comfortable. He says, but KMOJ cannot make payroll in the upcoming weeks. We're not going to be able to pay our people. He says, I would like you to come here and be the economic development director and work with us. And then after we're okay, you can go do what you want to do. I put in a two-week notice to my job in downtown Minneapolis and went and worked at KMLJ for Mr. Edwards as chairman of the board. That was a very prosperous time at KMLJ. I'll put it like that. And other things throughout his years alive that he asked me to do, I would do it without hesitation. But I would like to, at this point, bring Mr. M on. Mr. M is a friend of the show and has, geez, I don't know how long he's been calling the show and coming at me about Trump and other things, and him and Edwards just laughing, sitting there cracking up. But Mr. Edwards says, yeah, you know, you got to talk to other people. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. Mr. M, how are you doing, sir?
Giving, I have to really, you know, hand it to you for really giving props to, you know, Mr. Edwards. I think, you know, a wise man said one time, you only get flowers when you die. But when you, as you capsulize some of the life of Mr. Edwards, I mean, I've known Mr. Edwards probably my whole life. And I'll say that because he knew my dad, my grandfather, grandmothers, the church I went to at Bethesda. He could talk to you about everything. But there's one thing I really, you know, want to say just first off about Mr. Edwards is that not only the long-running radio program, but he also had the longest-running TV program on MTN every Tuesday for over 20 years, you know, no matter rain, whatever. He would be at that studio. And that program would come out on Sunday and run all week long. And he'd have all the information. He would break things that you would hear and see in the paper later on. I mean, he really kept his hand on the pulse of what's going on here. And he had the, you know, his background. A lot of people don't realize that at one time he worked at in the NSP, which was Northern States Power, the power company. And what
he brought a lot of people to work there,
and also had NSP be a benefactor for a lot of our causes. He was really just what a conduit for making things better in our community. And I can, you know, all of his, you know, insights into the police misconduct, all these things that have gone over the years. He's been really the watchdog or the person with the ear to the keyhole. And what's, you know, what's even more, you know, in my mind is that he did these things on his own time. He did these things because they needed to be done. And it's, as you said,
exactly.
it ticks me off too to think that he's been blackballed or expelled from organizations, banned from participating in meetings, having security come. And it really galls me because when you talk to Mr. Edwards, and he would call me sometimes after the show to talk about what I said, he never seemed to have any anger. He was just reporting the facts. He was just, I mean, to call him a historian and a journalist, which he called himself, I mean, that to me just scratches the surface because, I mean, he's an author. I mean, he helped KMOJ get running to where it is now. The place was in a project. It was in the projects in North Minneapolis. You know that, Don.
I remember, M, real quickly here. I remember when they broadcasted in an empty apartment and on top of the building where there were two watts or something like that. And Mr. Edwards brung these black women from the projects together to form a board, taught them parliamentary processes. And their names to this day appear on the paperwork for the establishment of the Center for Communication, KMOJ. And it was just, I don't understand. I originally was going to title this program, I Don't Want to Die Like Ron Edwards. And I thought that was a little bit insensitive. But I looked at these things. He never took a nickel from anyone to do anything. If someone had a problem, he'd be on it. He had ties and connections that ran close. He could have been a CIA agent. But he just did what he did. But go ahead, Mr. M.
Well, and then, but as I was saying earlier, too, I mean, he did all of these things without anger. You know, I'll never forget, my mother would tell me, my mother was born and raised in Birmingham, Alabama. And she used to tell me how, we would go to the movie, we had to sit upstairs, and we had to drink out of a water fountain that didn't work. And at the bathroom we could go to, it was all nasty and everything. And I'm like, why would they make my mother sit up in the bathroom? Why would they treat her like this? Yeah, I mean, me and my brother were just outraged. We were ready to just go beat up white people, listening to her talk about it. But she said, no, they just don't know any better. That's what she would say. And that's how Mr. Edwards was. I never saw him really just get hot with anger about these things that would affect me. He said, no, we've got to see our way through this. I mean, that just seemed to be his mindset, you know, the things he would talk about, the schools. And he really had a line into the Minneapolis police. And I think, and along with integrating the fire department. I mean, these are things that he did on his own that benefited this community many, many, many times over. But shining light on the misconduct of the police. I mean, and I'm going to say that, because the payouts that they give, that verifies that there's some misconduct done. The payouts that they have done over the years, and only in listening to, you know, Mr. Edwards, that we really put all those things in perspective, how he dwelled on the Dewey Know situation, where that officer was shot by one of his own officers. And if Ron hadn't brought that out and really, you know, that brought change. How we talked about the Mill City Five and how the chief at the time, Chief Nolan, really tried to set these officers up, said they were selling drugs. They sued, and they won. And that allows the chief that we have today, Chief Madera, he was part of that Mill City, but he had to sue to keep his job, and I think some of that rancor that we see in the police department, it seems to still be there, especially when you go back to the infamous, I know, Don, you'll remember this, the infamous Christmas tree incident.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was nuts. That was absolutely crazy. But I was just looking through the files here last night, you know, between like 1 and 4 this morning, and there's a really funny show we broadcast at a later date. You remember back in 2008 and 2009, the Minneapolis Department of Civil Rights were shredding cases? and kind of ignoring people. And Mr. Edwards had connections inside the Minneapolis Department of Civil Rights. And he called me up. He goes, Don, they're shredding people's cases and telling them that there's no settlement, there's nothing, you know, there's no disposition, and whatever they do in their process in the city of Minneapolis, which hasn't changed much today. And it just so happened that the young gentleman that was an attorney that worked there has resigned his position. And Mr. Edwards said, hey, let's meet over here for coffee. And what that young man had to say about the directions that he was given for when black people walked into the Minneapolis Department of Civil Rights to find some sort of justice, not all were legitimate. I'm going to put it like that.
Sure, sure.
When they didn't find justice, they were met with a stonewall of, what are you doing here? Why are you here? You filled this form out wrong. This is, you know, you got to spell this. I mean, this guy laid it out. And we were able to go on the air for several episodes and just talk about the Minneapolis Department. And it was so crazy. You get angry, but then you just have to chuckle. Because the black people in the community, the leaders at the time, after Clarence Hightower left the Minneapolis Urban League, you had Scooter Scott Gray in there. They weren't concerned with anything, any justice for black Minnesota. The Minnesota Council on Minnesota Council on Black Minnesotans under the leadership of Ed McDonald, they were the closest thing to an advocate when all these other black organizations kind of went silent. And you know now, Mr. M, we could have a police shooting. We could have a stabbing. We can have a black-on-black crime. You don't hear a whisper from any of these organizations. But when we do, there's a protest. And the people that lead the protest are paid. They go away till the next time. And this is an ongoing cycle that we have in Minnesota. I would like to open the phone lines up, 347-426-3904. Again, that number is 347-426-3904 is our number. Here at the Ron and Don Show with guest host Mr. M. And if you have a comment or something to say about Mr. Edwards, you can go right ahead, and we'll start with this caller. Caller, 8685, you're live on the Ron and Don Show. What's your question or comment?
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning, good morning, good morning, Don. You know who this is. This is Brother James. How y'all feeling this morning?
End of the show. Hey, Brother James.
Good morning.
Listen, you know, Don, when you first started this show, give credit when credit's due. I was one of the main brothers that used to call that show in all the time. I remember when you used to call me sometime when you get off work and say, brother, call the show tonight. Remember that, Don? You remember when Boss Eddie had his own history show and your show? I used to have people calling me from Illinois saying, what is it, only three black people up there out of all the people we know from Chicago? And I used to have to tell them, the people that's up there from Chicago, they are getting free stuff. They're getting groomed to become socially obedient slaves. So if you used to not having anything and you come from the projects and you start getting a nice prefab home and you start getting these here positions of authority where you really don't have any education to do those things, then, you know, things start happening for you. But to make a long story short, me and Mr. Edwards lived in the same community for almost 11 years. I lived down the street from him. We talked every day, every day. And, Don, you know this. There was times he would call me before he even called you. And he would call me and tell things about everybody in this town, because sometimes he was a nocturnal person. You can call him 5 in the morning, he'll pick the phone up on the first ring. And he would tell you. And Mr. Allen, you all well know this. There was a gentleman at the Civil Rights Department. That gentleman got booted out of the Civil Rights Department, Mr. Brandon. And Mr. Brandon, in turn, got paid $250,000 off of my paperwork. You remember that, Mr. Allen?
I remember that. That's exactly what I was talking about earlier.
Okay, so how did that gentleman, how did my case get kicked out? He uses my paperwork that you gave him, and he gets $250,000, and I don't hear from him anymore. But that's water under the bridge. I can understand that. But let me bring you up to speed on what you need to know right now. There's a book out called Slavery Reach, Slaveholders in the Northwest State. Now, I brought that to two people's attention. I brought it to Al McFarland, and I brought it to Al Flowers. Al Flowers kind of hesitant, but Al McFarland had that gentleman on his show the other day, the professor that wrote that book. He had him on his show. And Mr. McFarland stated clearly that when he was on the Urban League board, that County Commissioner Mark Stringland told him, look, don't be bringing me that slavery shit. You know, we're not responsible. My people are not responsible for you, for your enslavement. Mark Stringland did that. So what we need to do now is everybody need to get in a unified step. Stop half-stepping. Stop selling yourself out. Stop selling your community out. Because, see, a lot of people is getting all of these nice things because when they get called to task by their handlers are telling me, I need you to go over there and watch and see what Ron and Don is doing. I need you to go over there and see what M is up to. I need to see what you go over there and see what. Y'all first got to get out this gaslighting Django slave mentality, Django Unchained. So you got to chain yourself first. That's what people mean when they say free yourself up. But Don, there is a cold book. There's a cold book out here on the market. Every black in the state of Minnesota needs to read that. Black History Month is just around the corner. And guess what? The gentleman that wrote this is a professor from St. Cloud State. Now, Al McFarland had the testicle fortitude to put the gentleman on the show, and everybody that's been woke is still trying to act like they don't know. But if you get a hold of that book, you'll see why this place is ran like a plantation, because this place have been a slave-holding state, and this state was built off of slavery. That's why we got the Attorney General talking about you're suffering from Jim Crow. Really, it's the vestige of slavery that you're suffering from, okay? You remember, Don, if you don't know much, you can't do much.
You're absolutely right.
If you don't know much, you can't do much.
I think the caller, this is him. I think the caller has hit on one salient point through his message there, and that point is unity. You know, all of these organizations, you know, you name the Urban League, the NAACP, all of our people that were in higher positions, we all work together. If something happened, we can work together as a group to address it. But see, now we're so dissipated. Now we're so, you know, as you know, an analogy you made, you know, people that come up from other areas that have nothing, and all of a sudden here, it's a new world for them. Well, I think that's what we're seeing with a lot of the people that are coming over here on the Cedar Riverside area. I mean, how are certain people rising up to be heads of everything? And the background is, you know, I don't know how it can be even verified in some cases. Names, you know, people born on the same day. I mean, I don't want to hone in negatively at all. But I think that we need to stick together, as the caller was saying, and do our part by working together.
Yep. Thank you, Brother James, for your call. I will keep you in the queue. We have a lot of people. I just got a message from Mr. Edwards' brother, Mr. Kim Edwards. He's going to call in momentarily, and I am anxiously waiting that telephone call, and that will be the next call that we take. In the meantime, you know, Mr. Edwards, again, we've talked every day for 10 years, and I'm broadcasting this show and will continue to broadcast this show on Saturday morning because it was important to him. I don't seek any fame or any stardom or any money for that matter. We've been doing this show for 10 years and haven't made a nickel. Never tried. Mr. Edwards does this or did this because he wanted to. He said, this is important. This is what we understand what that last brother was talking about, Mr. M, that last brother, Brother James. He, like he said, he called us almost every week for about 3 or 4 years, and then after that, a couple times a month since we've been on the air. And he doesn't hold his tongue or bite his tongue, and he's absolutely correct, because in order for black Minnesotans to have some sense of pride and economic sustainability, We have to put down this little I and big U. We watch organizations in our community, all parts from all areas of our community, have the biggest parties, spend thousands of dollars, have folks come in that don't do any good for our community, that walk away with a $15,000 honorarium because they spoke for 10 minutes and they're a celebrity. We've watched our politicians here. Matter of fact, I was talking to someone like this. This is one of the few black shows in Minnesota history that will have Republicans and Democrats on the same show. We've interviewed Senator Eric Pratt, Senator Roger Chamberlain. And if you don't know who Senator Roger Chamberlain is, he is a white senator from a northern suburb that watched the news a couple of summers ago when a young black boy was told by the Minneapolis police that he could not sell hot dogs and Kool-Aid in front of his house over north.
No, yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Senator Roger Chamberlain is the one that went back to the Minnesota State Legislature and passed the bill that said, leave these kids alone. Let them learn work ethic. Let them be able to flourish economically in their own surroundings. Mr. Edwards and I had him right here, Senator Chamberlain, right here on this show, this program. You know, and we're always bothered about a couple of things. We have another call. Let me see if this is Mr. Edwards' brother here. Caller. Last 4-3-0-5-1. You're live on the air. Go ahead.
Hello, this is Kim Edwards. First off,
welcome.
I'd like to just say thanks for all the support the community is showing, all the condolences that I have received. His family greatly appreciates it. But here's what's really eating at me. With all of the support, all of the love that people have expressed for Ron, I just want to ask, especially our so-called activists, be active. Don't be passive, right? Memorials for Ron is passive. Do something. I don't care what it is, right? Just do something. And when you and I spoke the other day, I talked about trying to set up an educational fund for students that would like to pursue careers in journalism or social justice or even law enforcement. Okay? Yes?
No, go ahead, please.
But just the reason that Ron did what he did, he said it many, many times. I'm certain that no one listening to your broadcast could say that they never heard him say this. He said, I love black people. What he did to help the community was out of love. Please, just love one another, okay? Help one another. Because even if your motivations are self-serving, if you help one another, it will come back to you magnified, right? Please allow us to bury Ron with dignity, okay? His son will be here, and I will be protecting him as Ron protected all of you. So that's all I have, and I appreciate all that you do. Thank you.
Thank you for calling, sir. That was Mr. Edwards' brother, younger brother, Mr. Kim Edwards, and I'd like to thank him for calling in. He's upset, obviously, and rightly so. And it's something that, you know, we've talked on the phone a couple times, and he said something very important that we want to talk about, the activists. I am not an activist. Mr. Edwards was a historian, activist, journalist.
Yeah.
I mean, everything. And The problem, Mr. Kim, if you're still listening, the problem is in this town in Minnesota is that the people that move to the front of the line have less of an education than a sixth grader. But those are the people that get the money, that can be controlled, that can be members of certain political parties that don't really have the best interests of the black community. That you can wave a dollar bill. That's why Mr. Edwards and I, we would never take any money in our pockets for this show. We did have a gentleman to come in last month and say, hey, I like what you guys are doing. I would like to pay for the Blog Talk radio program for another year. We says, well, this is the information. Call him and pay it. And he did.
Wow.
And we
appreciate it.
And so we will be on for another year.
Wow.
And you'll find out who that person is next week. But the thing is, the thing that troubles me is that, you know, we have folks here that, oh, I've been knowing Ron Edwards for so long, and they just moved here from Chicago 10, 15 years ago. And like I say, Mr. Edwards got his first haircut. He and his brother that just called got their first haircut from my uncle at separate times, of course. Walter Battle, Reverend Walter L. Battle. And Mr. Edwards says, boy, you know, I was in line to whoop you at one point. I said, yeah, I remember that. And he's always, like I said, he's always messed with me about that because I was worried because he, you know, Mr. Edwards was no little guy. And I was a little kid then. And his history with my family, my mother, my father, my uncles, my aunts, my cousins. I have an aunt today, Aunt Thelma, that will tell you that if you have a problem, call Mr. Edwards. If someone has done you wrong, call Mr. Edwards. He said, not only will he fix it, he'll put it on the radio and television show. And whoever did whatever. We're not tolerating any mess anymore. One thing, the week before he passed away, we had talked about the Minneapolis Urban League. It was our intention to go over to the Minneapolis Urban League and sit down with Mr. Belton and strategize a different event, a different trajectory, I should say, for the Urban League and Black Minnesota to try to help make the Urban League strong again. Mr. Edwards sat down next to me and had me type. I typed 16 pages of a strategy for the Urban League. It's solid, Mr. M. It's solid.
Great.
And part
great.
Of that is us coming back to the Urban League to make the Urban League strong again, to get rid of the people that talk a lot and don't do anything, but also to make sure we as Black Minnesotans can sustain, make the Urban League sustainable again. Make sure they have the resources they need. And with the 300,000 plus black people in Minnesota, if just 50,000 of them would engage with us, the Urban League would never have to beg for anything from anybody. Just recently, we were shocked. Mr. Edwards called me up. I was at work again. Like I said, if I'm at work, I don't care if I'm in the middle of teaching a class. If I see his number on my phone, I will answer. He goes, you know what, Don? I go, what, Mr. Edwards? He says, a certain nonprofit in North Minneapolis received $250,000 to help the Drake people. And he goes, well, why wouldn't they give that money to the Minneapolis Urban League? And it didn't make any sense to us because we watched this same agency squander money to the point where they had to make a public announcement in that all $250,000 will be going to the victims of the Drake fire, which is a damn lie.
Yeah.
But just on your website, make it true.
Yeah, a lot of them are still homeless. You know, it was, Mr. Allen, you know, it was so good to hear from Ron's brother. I tell you, you can tell, you know, the emotion in his voice. And, you know, and as he said, you know, Mr. Edwards, Ron Edwards, he loved his people. You know, and he would always make quotes, you know, on this show and on TV, you know, about the sons and daughters of the Africans. you know, he felt it was very important for us to know where we came from and how we got here, that that is our base. He thought that was so very important. He said that all the time, you know, and let us not be, you know, those that are forgotten. Let's continue. And so I want to say, you know, to you right now, Don Allen, I think that you've really been, you know, your time around, you know, Ron Edwards has been wonderful for you and our community, because I think he's really kind of knew that he was going to have to hand this torch off at some time. And so you have been, you know, I believe a person that, you know, he trusted, that he would bounce things off. And sometimes he'd call me and he would talk about you. You know, I'm going to tell you the truth, you know. But he loved what you did and the fact that you were working with him, because you picked the mantra up to what he did. I mean, all of these things he did, if he was getting paid for it, oh, he'd be a rich man. But that's, and he was a rich man because he did what he wanted to do, and he did the things for the sons and daughters of the African. You know, his words were just so telling, and I'm going to watch some of his prior shows that I've taped on MGN. I think we don't want to lose this momentum here, and I hope we can get a very nice, respectful service for Mr. Edwards, because he deserves that. And but I think what he left us with, I think we all have to be thankful for.
Yes, we do. And with that said, we have a producer tell me we have Steve from the Midwest, who's a friend of the show and a consistent caller.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful.
Steve, how are you, sir?
I'm doing fair right now. That's about the best I can say. Mr. Allen, I'd like to thank you for giving Ron a platform. Because he was, as you said earlier, he wasn't computer savvy. And I know occasionally he would call me up and ask me to look something up for him on the computer. I'm not sure he actually had a computer, but at all. But, you know, the funny thing is, I don't know that he really needed a computer, because he seemed to remember everything in detail from years. I mean, the history of... I mean, just history generally, he remembered. And one of the things I should tell you is that I'm on the other side of his family. I don't know if he ever told you that or not, but
no.
I think Kim was probably, must be on his father's side. Oh, I'm on his mother's side of the family, I'm his cousin from Kansas City. He used to come to Kansas City to visit his mother. Year after year. Until his mom died in 2015, and I know he would call me and ask me to pose some questions for him during your show.
Mm-hmm.
He used to love to do that. I was the inquisitor. So there's stuff he wanted to get out, and he'd say, you know, go and ask me. Something about this or that, and then he'd kind of take it from there. But he loved that. I know it's not, he used to tell me all the time about everything that he would do there, but all the stuff he was working on and all the issues that were going on in Minneapolis, but just sort of on a personal level, years, I mean, we were kind of more like brothers in a sense. And one of the reasons that I'm so interested in history and sociology now is because of him. And but just to tell you a little story, we had like a tradition a long, long time ago where he'd come over to the house during Christmas and New Year's, and we had a bottle of cognac. And we'd sit there, and we also had a big, like, Rand McNally hardback cover atlas. And
yay!
We'd sit there. Yeah, we'd sit there and with either some Oreo cookies, cognac, and this big Rand McNally atlas, and sit there and talk about world affairs. I mean, he loved, because if you remember, he brought up the whole thing about Venezuela. That stuff, he loved, I mean, he loved anything to do with politics or international affairs and the like. And, but yeah, it's just kind of, I kind of miss those days. And I never really knew too much about the other side of his family or anything, but, he's somebody who's found his, really found his life's calling and loved it. And I think he always sort of, I mean, he loved justice and fair play. And particularly wanted to make sure that the black community always got, you know, a fair shake and things and the like. But, yeah, I just wanted really to thank you and M also, because I know he talked about M a little bit. He didn't reveal everything, but he would talk to me a little bit about M and the like. But I just wanted to thank you for giving him a platform, and also appreciate, you know, the things that you do also for, you know, black community there. And that's basically all.
Mr. Steve, I'd just like to say that I couldn't have done it unless Mr. Edwards and J.D. Hoyt's one Friday night, that's where we'd meet on Friday in the 80s and in the early 2000s. If he didn't talk to me on that year, I think it was 2008.
Uh-huh.
He says, "Man, we ought to find a way to get out some information." He says, "Why don't you go look on the web net?" And I said, "Okay, I'll go look on." He called the internet the web net. He said, "Go look on the web net and find out how we can do a show together where I don't have to come in all the time, and I can call you, or we can get together once or twice a week." And that's when I discovered the radio program, because he was happy. He was tickled. And it was because it was his drive. And while I'm flattered, I have to turn around and give the credit to Mr. Edwards for pushing me in this direction, something that I never thought I would do for 10 years. And so I appreciate that. But it also continues to give the black community of Minnesota a voice to call in to talk about things that we won't see in the Star and Tribune / Johannesburg Times, that we won't see or hear on the television station. We still will be here. We still will do what we have to do. And, Steve, I hope you continue to call in. I have your number now in my phone. And we have to keep this going. And you two gentlemen and a couple more gentlemen were key callers throughout the many years that we, you know, I will depend on you sometimes to help push this thing forward. And again, I need to thank Mr. Edwards' brother, Mr. Kim Edwards, because he's on the show with me today. Mm-hmm. And he called me yesterday, and someone in our black community told him that, who knows nothing about this show, that, you know, Mr. Allen wants you on for his personal interests / financial gain. And it was very sad and hurtful to hear that, because we do this because we want to. We did this not for... Yeah, we should be on KSTP AM, WCCO AM, broadcast this news every week. But as you know, you're not a black person. Ask Angela Davis at NPR.
Yeah.
That said, we got no financial gain. I have no financial interest. I hope Mr. Edwards' brother starts his brother's scholarship, Mr. Edwards' scholarship, for students that are activists, students that are outspoken, students that are going to college. And I hope he forms a committee of people that are educated, well-spoken, well-written, to move this agenda forward. That's most of it. So hold on, M and Mr. C. We have a couple more calls. Let me see what this is. Your last four is 3015. You are live on the Ron and Don Show. What's your question or comment?
Okay,
put him back on hold. We have another call. Your last four is 2517. You're live on the Ron and Don Show. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, hello. Yes, I hear you.
Yeah,
hi.
I'm Howard, and when I how I found out about Ron's death, I happened to be on a bus, and I happened to look in the Star Tribune. I buy that every day in the New York Times, and I would just I don't know, I was just stunned. I was just numb. And me and Ron, we had two or three conversations a week sometimes. And see, I knew him back in the 60s. I met him in 63, but he also was very, very instrumental at the Way. I'm in my 70s, so he and he knew my mom because she was a member of the Urban League. And we just, you know, history, which I majored in college, he was just so knowledgeable and everything. And when he was with KMOJ and he did – you remember when he did Street Talk and Black Focus?
Yeah,
I used to call in. I used to call in every time I could get a chance. Sometimes I was the first caller. And I'm just he's going to be so sadly missed. And like I said, he knew my mom, and he knew a lot about Fergus Falls. My mom was born and raised there. And he was one of the very few people, African-Americans, that knew about the different families there. And we should talk about that, too. I've been up to Fergus. I may go up there again because my grandfather's buried up there, on, you know, her father. And I'm Don, I just want to thank you for your contribution and for your show. I've tried to listen to you every week on my computer. And it's a blessing that you're going to continue another year. And will you still take callers and stuff?
Of course. I have Steve and Em on, and we're going to continue the show for more than a year. But the thing is, I want to make sure that we have a variety of voices, because not one of us, or not three of us, can't equal one Ron Edwards. So if
true.
We have, you know, him and even you, Mr. Howard, and other people that would call in, that would have these discussions, that actually read and write, I don't think that this show is ever in jeopardy of stopping. Like I said, we had someone last year who said that they were very interested in making sure that the Ron and Don Show stayed on the air for as long as possible. And it cost $9 a month, okay? And
how much?
This gentleman, $39 a month to use Broad Talk Radio, and it can go as high as $1,000. But we just use a platform that gives us, you know, unlimited calls, unlimited time if we want. We can broadcast every day if we wanted to, but we just wanted to do it on Saturdays at 9:30 in the morning. And so with that said, this gentleman went in his pocket, contacted Blog Talk Radio, and I got an email saying, hey, you're cool for 2020. And it was greatly appreciated. And I will, starting next week, we're going to start talking about his restaurant, his organization. And we have 90 seconds left in the show.
I just want to say this, Mr. Don. Okay. I write for a local small newspaper, the Alley News, and I'm going to do a tribute to him in the next issue or two. We're a monthly, so and I do film reviews. We used to talk movies too and stuff. So I'll let you go, and I know you got other callers. So thank you very much. And I'm still stunned and you know, I'm about just what happened. Do you know what day he died? Did he die on Martin Luther King Day?
Yeah, between there, sometime Saturday and Monday, last Monday.
Okay. Well, I'll let you go because I know you got other callers, but thank you very much.
Well, we have 30 seconds left, and I would just like to take this opportunity to wherever Ron Edwards, Mr. Edwards is listening, hopefully, thank you for the education, because he was my teacher. I'd like to thank M. I'd like to thank Steve for calling in from the Midwest, and we will continue to talk with you because, you know, something about crazy is happening. And with that said, Mr. Edwards, rest in peace.